now tuned into Bars and Hoops Radio. Where the world of hip-hop and sports live.
Knicks Talk Nation. With your host, Steals the Great. Live on Bars and Hoops Radio.
New York City. New York City. We back. We back. We back. We back. The Big Apple. Big Apple. Big Apple. NY. The Knicks are back. Staten Mellow.
This dedicated to my city, New York. Official kings in the court. Reach for the ball, a hard lesson gets taught. So bring your skills to the nearest playground. No clown around. Catch a helmet in a minute on a New York playground. The Big Apples. For sure, and basketball is our sport. We play for keeps and never settle for sure. So bring your game when you come to my town. We snatch a crowd, you get embarrassed on the court after you're shook to the ground. You get respected when you prove you get down. So save the joke for the clowns. In NYC, we known to go a few rounds. This is the city where you're forced to go hard. You'll get booed out of Dodge and shown the door, being the weakest on squads. Rucker Park and summer nights, they stay live. Brothers play for the pride and bragging rights on who's the king of NY. So grab the pill and prepare to go hard. Pick your 12-man squad, orange and you better believe we go hard. This for my city, New York, New York City, where it's gritty. Yeah, for my city, never pretty. New York, New York City, sing it with me. Yeah, yeah, for my city, New York, New York City, where it's gritty. NYC, for my city, never pretty. Yeah, New York City, sing it with me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What up, what up, what up, y'all? Bars and Hoops Radio. Knicks Talk Radio, Knicks Talk Nation Radio. We are here. This is the debut. Shout out to everybody out there listening. Shout out to my co-host, Hard Will. Hard Will, unmute your mic, Hard Will. Man. So first foremost, we want to tell everybody thank you for checking in with us, man. Sorry for the delay. You know, technical difficulties, new things, working remotely. But nonetheless, man, we are here today, man. And, you know, we got to be in good spirits, man, because our Knicks just took an L today, man, to the Miami Heat, man. But, you know, nonetheless, they having a great season, man. And we're here, man, to really talk about it, man. And we're here to give you a Knicks perspective from Knicks fans. You know what I mean? So before we move any further, please, Hard Will, introduce yourself to the people, man.
Hey, how you doing? It's your boy, Hard Will. You live, Knicks Talk Nation Radio. First episode. We real excited, you know. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about, you know, want the fans to chime in. And basically, you know, we got a lot of good shows coming up for y'all. Just keep tapping in with us, you know, enjoy yourself. Have a good time.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And for those out there wondering, you know, why now? Why not now? You know what I mean? So for me, just to give you a little insight of who I am, you know, I go by the name of Steals the Great. You know, Bars and Hoops Radio is the brand. You know, we got a full-fledged 24/7 radio station that has a bunch of podcasts, live radio shows, live DJ shows, and everything 7 days a week. So, you know, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. And, you know, I hear a lot of mainstream media kill our team, man. And, you know, I'm figuring like, man, I sit and listen to these other outlets every day and they do nothing but bash our team. So I say, you know what? I felt the need to put a platform out there so that we can put the Knicks in a proper light, man, and give some respect. Yes, they are the perfect team. Yes, they had a checkered pass, but at the end of the day, that's still a New York team, and we got to give respect where it's due. What you think about that, Hard Will?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's like we're not really getting a lot of respect, but we haven't won in a while. I understand, but I think we get a lot of backlash because we the Mecca.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of places – don't like New York because New York was really the best at a lot of stuff for a long time. The rap game, basketball, we're the Mecca. So we have a lot to live up to. It's probably why a lot of players don't want to come because there's a lot of pressure, the media, but you know.
Yes, indeed.
We still love our team.
For sure. You know what I mean? And it's a lot going on in the city right now. Basketball is definitely back in the city on both ends. You know what I mean? We're not haters at all. And I'm gonna just put this out there as a disclaimer. Just because this is a Knicks platform, I'm not gonna wear orange and blue glasses when I give my perspective on certain things and when I report on certain things, because that's just not right. We gotta call a spade, but we're definitely gonna play right and we're gonna play fair, man. So this isn't a bash the owner session. We're not going to bash players, man. At the end of the day, we're going to give you good, honest assessments, and we want to bring the best to the fans that's out there listening. You know what I'm saying? So without any further ado, man, let's talk about tonight's game, man. It was a tough loss. I don't know if you really got to catch everything, but, you know, from the gate, man, you know, the Knicks just looked a little out of whack. You know, the Heat definitely came with a lot of energy, you know.
Yeah.
The referees weren't doing us any favors, you know, in the game. But, you know, you can't blame the refs at the end of the day, man. It works both ways. And at the end of the day, when you look at the box score, it kind of evened itself out. Where the Knicks lost that, in my perspective, was, you know, from behind the three-point line. You know, they took a lot of threes. They missed a lot of threes. And they couldn't crack that zone. And, Harwell, you as a basketball player, what's the best way to attack a zone?
Well, it's hard to just to beat a zone. You got to try to attack the gaps of the zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the NBA, like the other day, I seen after the game, Derrick Rose brought it up. He said that they played a zone all game.
Yes.
And I was like, he's like, he's never seen that since AAU. So,
yeah,
he said that. He wasn't trying to be mean because Derrick Rose not like that.
But yeah.
It's kind of hard to crack the zone. And not only that, I noticed that Miami – is behind the Knicks in the standings. So
yes.
Jimmy Butler and them talked about that before the game.
Yes.
I think they did. And they came and wanted to beat the Knicks. They don't know if they're going to play the Knicks in the playoffs or make a statement.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. So with this loss, the Knicks dropped to 24-23 and the Heat move up to 23-24. So we're still a game ahead of them. You know what I mean? But just to give you a little insight on the box score, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo pretty much led the way for, you know, the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler scored 27 points. You know, he definitely grabbed 5 rebounds and 6 assists. But Bam Adebayo had a monster game, and we got killed on the boards. You know, he had 17 boards, which was crazy. So the effect of Mitchell Robinson not being there is evident as of now. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Nerlens Noel played a great game defensively, but, you know, we got killed in the paint, and we definitely got killed on the boards. You know what I mean?
Facts.
What's your thoughts on that?
That's probably why, you know, we couldn't really – Bam Adebayo, man, he's a really good player. I really liked him ever since college, and to see him win the skills challenge in the All-Star game,
yes.
Just showing that he's a versatile big. And
yes.
That's what the game is about now, being a Euro big. Being very versatile to help your team spread the court and dribble the ball up. He does stuff like that. So even though Mitchell Robinson is more of like, he's like, we was talking about that, D. Mitchell Robinson to me is the epitome of what a Knick is. His work ethic, everything about him. I love Mitchell Robinson, and we really did need him to come back. It's unfortunate if his injury. Mitch, you hear this, get well soon. You know, we appreciate you. You know, like I said, to me, my opinion, you the epitome of a Knick. And I think that if you was there today, it would have been a better game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, exactly. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, it's tough that we lost him for the season because, as you know, free agency, you know, came and went. We didn't address a lot of the issues that we had as far as big men were concerned. We didn't really add any real people to the team that could probably possibly affect the chemistry of the game, but – you know, nonetheless, we got to go to war with who we have. But what's your outlook as far as the season is concerned? Like, what do you think moving forward the Knicks should do, you know, to kind of make up for some of the shortcomings that they do have?
Well, I kind of felt like the Knicks moved too fast on players that they draft or they try to build up. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the Austin Rivers trade and certain trades like Dennis Smith Jr. to make space and just to get rid of pieces that's not helping us. But I kind of like the move that they just stuck with what we have. And I think it's because the Knicks didn't expect themselves to be doing as well as they're doing.
Facts.
This is my point in a way, because they kind of just coming in with a fresh start. They didn't expect to be in this position, I don't think.
100%. 100%. So, they definitely didn't.
Yeah, so for them to be in this position, it would make sense to stick to your core and then to see Andre Barrett's second year. And then you got to look at Zion. Zion, are they talking about him like that? He was in the All-Star game. That's Andre Barrett's teammate from college. And he was really, really up there with Zion when it comes to that level of play. And I called it before people even really knew R.J. Barrett was going to be really good.
He's a good player.
Yeah, one of our new mix, man. He's going to be tough. He's a lefty. You got to watch him because he's only been there 2 years. He's dunking and he's going to the hole like he has no fear. That's what guys have to look out for in a player, in a young player. Imagine R.J. Barrett in 4 years from now.
Yeah, R.J. Barrett is definitely going to be a problem. You know what I mean? And he's already stepping into his own because I wasn't too big on the pick at first, but he won me over with his work ethic. You know what I mean? He's definitely been working in the gym. You could tell he's worked on his body and he's doing all the right things right now. And this is why the next season is so successful right now, if you really ask me, because a lot fell on Julius Randle. He's leading. And R.J. Barrett is also playing a great Robin role. And, you know, I'll get to the end and give you a little Nick note when in regards to R.J. Barrett. But, you know what I mean? I wanted to kind of, before we get into the meat and potatoes everything, man, I know that you wanted to say a happy birthday to somebody, man. So go ahead, man. Get that man his props.
Oh, happy birthday, Clyde.
Word to mother, man. Shout out to Clyde. Man.
You know, for with real. The passion sense you come with, the words you make up. When we watch the game, then another thing I want to say to Clyde, right? Sometimes I watch the Knicks on another network when somebody else is commentating, and it's just not the same. Like, they don't have the swag he does. They don't, like, so I have to go back to MSG and watch Clyde talk his talk. And you know what I mean? Like, word. I caught myself like, oh, this ain't MSG. And then I want to go because I want to hear Clyde. So happy birthday, Clyde. We appreciate you for what you do. Hopefully one day you'll come and jump on our show, you know, and talk to some of the fans maybe one day. But either way, we love you and we love what you do for the Knicks and the Garden, man. Shout out, Clyde. Happy birthday.
Yeah, shout out to Clyde, man. Happy 76th birthday. You know what I mean? Wow. Still out here doing his numbers with the cowhide suits and all that, man. Shout out to Clyde Frazier, man. Whoa, Clyde, one of the best point guards the Knicks has ever had. You know what I mean? Definitely one of the 50 greatest players, too. You know what I mean? So, today's episode, man, I really wanted to touch on a lot of what, you know, contributed to some of the Knicks issues, but we also wanted to reflect light on what some of the good years were about, man. You know what I mean? And I wanted to go back to, you know, looking at the decision makers, man, meaning the presidents of basketball operations and the GMs of the team. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're the ones that pretty much laid the foundation for where we are today. You know what I mean? A lot of work has been done to get the Knicks to respectability. The culture has changed, but let's take it back a taste, man. So I know a lot of Knicks fans, you know, we had and I know I was guilty of it at one point in time. In the 2000s, we wanted to see the 1990s era Knicks, the no layup Knicks, the ball headed Knicks. Well, Patrick Ewing didn't cut his hair off that year, he didn't cut his hair. He didn't want to let the flat top go. Everybody else cut their hair off except for Ewing.
That was, you know, crazy. What I mean?
But they all wore black sneakers in solidarity. In that era,
X-Men was on that team, right?
Yeah, the X-Men was on that team. So we're going to take people down memory lane because this is what we want to do. Like I said, we're not creating this platform just to talk about today. We want to talk about the whole as a Knicks fan. You know what I mean? We're going to go back, do some trivia, do some history so that, you know, every Knicks fan that's listening can enjoy the show that we're bringing to them today. You know what I mean? So we're going to go back to the 90s era, man. And the president of basketball of operations back in the 90s, namely 91 to about 1994, he had 4 years of his tenure, but he was one of the best presidents that we had. Goes by the name of Dave Checkets. You know what I mean? Dave Checkets, he left his stamp on that era of basketball during the Knicks' tenure throughout that time in the 90s. So in his tenure as president of basketball operations, he had four seasons. They made the NBA Finals once under him in 1993-94. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals twice, and they made it to the semifinals one time. The GM of the organization throughout his whole tenure and until 2000, from 1995 to 2000, was Ernie Grunfeld. Now, let's talk about some of the key acquisitions that started the whole Go New York era, right?
Whoa.
So we're going to take people down memory lane. So in 1991 and 92, the Knicks hired Pat Riley as head coach.
Pat Riley
is definitely shining in Miami. Got the
call up Pat Riley. Instead of rings, he's getting rolly.
Shout out to Pat Riley. So, also in 1991-92, they drafted Greg Anthony with the first round pick at number 12. They also signed Anthony Mason as a free agent, and they traded for the X-Man, Xavier McDaniels. If you remember that.
Those were good moves.
Those were great moves when you look at it.
Moves were good because they were Knicks. They were Nick moves. He was trying to get Knicks.
Yes.
Keep it in the culture. But go ahead.
100%. So that season, they went 51-31. They lost in the Eastern Conference semifinals to Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls 3-4.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? That was a memorable season because, you know, that was fresh into the 90s. Like I said, Pat Riley came from L.A. to New York, and they were known as Showtime back then. You know what I mean? They were known as the Showtime Knicks. I mean, Showtime Lakers. And he brought them to the Knicks, and he turned them into a tough, gritty, hard-nosed defensive team that was giving up no layups or nothing like that. Now, of course, that came down to the personnel that we had, Oakley, Ewing, Mason, X-Man. You know what I mean? That was an exciting team, and New York embodied that culture and that team because they represented the city of hard workers. Man, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, you know, we have a certain culture. Like Mitchell Robinson, he reminds me of a Knick the way he plays. And I think some guys really want to be a Knick because that's their style of play. And they like the culture because it's a tight-knit fit, like the Knicks. And another thing I heard them say about the new Knicks, not the change from old to new, but it's just a good point, that the new guys, they go into the gym after the game and stuff like that. So these guys are hungry, man. And they all like the Knicks. They remind me of the old Knicks because there's 100%. No – Julius Randle's doing good. He's an all-star this year.
I like you.
Remind me of a regular all-star like Carmelo Anthony. So that's kind of better for me because we could pass the ball around and play more of a team-oriented game and beat teams who only have two stars and they trying to force it to those players.
Yes.
And that's going to win but for so long. Now you see everybody trying to have four stars because they know they need a lot of players to win.
Yeah, that's a fact. Everybody want four stars and all this nonsense. But,
man,
you know,
I'm hearing this craziness right now, man. Everybody's trying to get everybody. I'm glad we just stay solid. So remember that, guys. The Knicks are staying solid, but I don't want you to lose your point because you was talking about old players. And I do agree with what we're doing in reference to sticking to who we are. That was my main point.
And speaking of Julius Randle, since you brought him up, he's definitely a modern-day Zach Randolph.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
We got to shout Zach out, man.
Shout out to Zach Randolph.
Zach Randolph is the truth, and he's tapped in. He's tapped in.
Like, yeah.
The hip-hop community.
Yes.
To the streets from Zach Randolph. Yo, shout out Zach to my Randolph. Boy, bro.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Yeah. That's a good comparison, D.
Yes, indeed. So moving along, man, we're going to go to the 92-93 season, man. Again, under Ernie Grunfeld and Dave Checkets. In that year, the 92-93 draft, we drafted Hubert Davis. First round from North Carolina, number 20 overall. Yes.
Great pick.
We also traded for Rolando Blackman and Tony Campbell. And we also traded Mark Jackson and a second round pick to the Clippers for Doc Rivers and Charles Smith. And we signed Herb Williams. That was exceptional upgrades to the team. And that year, we finished 60-22. But again, we lost to MJ and the Bulls 2-4 in the Eastern Conference Finals. That was a tough team. They won 60 games. That was probably the last time the Knicks won 60 games. They went 60-22 in 1992 and 93, and we lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Chicago Bulls. 1993 and 94, we added another tough-nosed player to the Knicks, Anthony Bonner. In that season, had a slight drop off. We won 57 games. And again, we lost in the NBA finals. We went to the finals that year and we lost to the Houston Rockets. And everybody knows the story of that finals. John, yeah. Why didn't Pat Riley sit him down? Why didn't he play Hubert Davis? Why didn't he play Rolando Blackman? He rode with who he thought was the guy that was going to get him to the championship. And we ended up taking the gambling. We lost 3-4 to a good Houston Rockets team, man. What do you remember about that year?
Man, I remember a lot. And when you said about Jordan, it just reminds me what made me so tough and what made me, like, stay a Knicks fan. A lot of people was leaving the Knicks. They were Chicago Bulls fans. They was all type of fans. Yeah. And I felt like that wasn't real. That wasn't right. Like, when we grew up in our era, you know, like, these kids, they LeBron James fans when he to Cleveland, and they a Laker fan now because he went to the Lakers. Yeah, we didn't grow up like that. Like, we didn't care if our team was losing. And Michael Jordan beat us pretty bad. But that's I did not go and join the Bulls team. I couldn't do nothing like that. I respect Jordan for being one of the greatest players still. Like D said, we're not going to sugarcoat what's really real. Nah, but being from New York, I'm not going to go and join the Bulls bandwagon because they win it. And that's what's going on now. People want to be on the team because they win and be a fan of a winning team. But that's not being genuine or real. So you're not going through the heartaches and the ups and downs of losing to really deserve when we come onto the top and win. So a lot of Knicks fans that's not being with us when we lose and trying to double back and come around and find your Knicks gear now, we're not jacking. We're not jacking that. Go be a Brooklyn fan. Brooklyn got a good team. We don't want the people who not going to be with us all the time. I'm just keeping it
up. Yeah, we don't want to beat up. We don't want to beat up on the Knicks fans, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, we're not. No, I'm saying we don't want them. We don't want them playing. You know, they in and they out. They doing this type of thing. They don't know if they're with us or not. And now we winning. Everybody going to find their Knicks gear. You know
exactly.
If we lose, just have patience because you're proven right now. Look where we are. Nobody expected us to be there. So imagine this year. Yeah, so imagine. Be patient, Knicks fans. That's all I'm saying. Be patient.
Exactly, man. So moving on to 94-95. Again, this is when the Knicks had first-round picks. Mm-hmm. They had some competent people in office. They drafted Monty Williams, who's now the coach of the Phoenix Suns, and he's done a hell of a job.
Great job. Shout out Monty Williams.
Yep. First round, 24th pick overall. They also drafted Charlie Ward in the first round, two picks later at 26. They also made the trade. They traded Derek Harper for Doug Christie. So that was like a revamp right there. Like, they used Harper for a couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. Then they ended up trying to retread the tires and go elsewhere. They brought in Doug Christie for Derek Harper. And that season, the Knicks won 55 games and they lost 27 games. And they lost 3-4. In the Eastern Conference semifinals to the Indiana Pacers. And we all know about that series, man. We all know about Reggie Miller, Rick Smith. Ooh. You know, those were classic series. You know what I mean? That's when Spike Lee made a name for himself.
Reggie Miller with this.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that was one of those seasons. Moving on to 95 and 96. This is when everything started changing. The Knicks traded Pat Riley. Now, they actually traded Pat Riley. They traded the coach. You heard me right. They traded Pat Riley to Miami for a 1996 first-round pick. They hired Don Nelson as the head coach, and they also signed Gary Grant from the L.A. Clippers in the offseason. That year, we took a steep drop in standings. We won 47 games, lost 35 games. And we lost 1-4 in the Eastern Conference semifinals to Chicago. Now, if you remember those eras, that year in particular, Ewing didn't get along with Don Nelson at all. Don Nelson didn't like Patrick Ewing. And they had a clear fallout, and Don Nelson's tenure came to an end, I think, a year later. They got rid of him immediately. You know what I mean? Which leads us into 1996 and 97. The Knicks traded Charles Smith and Monty Williams to San Antonio for J.R. Reed and the first round pick. I don't know if you remember that time.
Like, but J.R. Reed unloaded.
Huh?
Yeah. Like, they can't, you know, one minute is good, then they just make a bad decision after.
Exactly.
Patience. So remember, that's why I said earlier, it's about patience, D. It's about patience still. Like, they never had patience with. If I draft something, if I draft a player, and it would be like, oh, he's not living up to his expectations. But the Knicks didn't have patience back then, it seemed like to me, to give these guys a chance to develop.
Exactly.
If they learned from their own mistake, maybe they won't do that moving forward. And it looks the way this draft just passed, that we stayed completely out, that we're trying something new instead of just giving up on who we picked.
100%. 100% facts on that, man. So now moving along into 1996-97. We're staying in 96-97. They traded Doug Christie and Herb Williams to Toronto for Willie Anderson. That's how we ended up with Willie Anderson. They fired Don Nelson. They hired Jeff Van Gundy. They drafted John Wallace, first round, number 18 overall. They drafted Walter McCarty, first round, 19 overall. And they drafted Dante Jones in the first round, 21 overall. I remember that year because we had all three of those first round picks. And as fast as they got him was as fast as they let him go. Also, in that year, they signed Allen Houston and Chris Childs as free agents. That was like, at the time, Chris Childs got like $27 million, if I'm not mistaken, and Allen Houston got $54 million. Wow. Yeah, Allen Houston got $54 million. You know what I'm saying? That was like big money back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then we had a brand new backcourt. We also signed Scott Brooks and Buck Williams and Herb Williams again. For real.
Whoa.
Also that year, it was a busy year. They did a complete 360 and a
Van Gundy was Van Gundy. I think Van Gundy deserved another coaching job because when he commentates a game, he makes a lot of sense and he knows the game.
Yeah.
Now I understand why they didn't put Mark Jackson in coaching position. We're not gonna touch that. We understood that. Cool.
Yeah.
But Van Gundy was a good coach, and they give his brother jobs time in and time out. Van Gundy deserved another shot. Shout out to Coach Van Gundy. You know, he was going to fight if the Knicks would have fought. Do you guys remember that? He was ready to fight if the Knicks was going to fight. That's the type of coach you need, man.
Yeah.
Remember, shout out Chris Childs, too. Remember, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. I hate to say it, but remember, snuff Kobe Bryant.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
I love Kobe. I'm just saying. He was just mentioning and it came to my mind. Shout out Chris Childs. He was a Knick, and the Knicks wasn't taking none of that smack. They're going to swing on you, kid. I'm telling you, Oakley, Mason, think about them dudes just popping off.
Now this is when the Knicks transitioned from that 1994 team. They transitioned to Van Gundy now being the head coach, Pat Riley being gone. They signed Allen Houston, Chris Childs. They brought in Buck Williams. They brought in Herb Williams. Now, they traded Anthony Mason to Charlotte for Larry Johnson. That changed everything. They traded Hubert Davis to Toronto for a first-round pick that year as well. That season, they finished 57-25. They lost 3-4 in the Eastern Conference semifinals to the Miami Heat. You know what I mean? That was a transitioning year. They retooled. They brought in some big guns, but they fell short to the Heat in that year. And the Heat had a nice little team that year as well. Moving along to 1997. 1997-98. This is where things get a little dicey. They drafted John Thomas. Do you remember who John Thomas is?
John Thomas.
John Thomas played for Michigan State. He was a big man. They brought him in. Didn't work out well for him. That, to me, you know, he was a bust. He was drafted in the first round, but he was drafted at the end of the first round, 25 overall. You know what I mean?
I don't remember him. That was a good one.
Yeah, John Thomas. A big man, power forward, light-skinned dude. He was a power forward of the team at the time.
I do remember him.
Yes. You know what I mean? And shout out to our special invited guest, man, that's going to come on in a few minutes, Obi Toppin, Obadiah Toppin, his father. The Knicks just finished playing. We're trying to get Obi on. You know what I'm saying? We'll see how it works out. They just coming up a little. Can't guarantee anything, but his father will be on in about 10 minutes. You know what I mean? So those that are locked in, stay tuned, because we're going to have a dope interview with a dope person that's got a son that's playing for a dope team. You know what I mean?
He's a street ball legend too.
Yeah, so. Street ball legend for sure. What do you know about Obadiah and his street ball days?
I heard a lot about him. And mm-hmm. You know, I'm a student of the game. I always like to hear about good ball players. I actually heard he was stayed in the same building I lived in Far Rockaway, Queens. People know him. I don't know him. Maybe I do because I know so many people. But somebody told me when we posted it that he lived in my building in the blue building in the 40s. So if he did, shout out to the 40s. Shout out to Far Rockaway. That is where I'm from.
Yes.
And a lot of dudes lived out there and a lot of dudes moved away, but they still rep the rock. So shout out to the Toppins, his pops. He's doing a great job, even if just helping his son get to the league. And then he played a lot of ball in New York all over. He got a big basketball name, I heard.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to indeed. And I played with O back in the days, man. He was a problem, man. He'll dunk on you in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? Wow. They call him Dunker's Delight.
Dunker's Delight. Yeah, that's what I heard.
But I knew him as just Obadiah. You know what I'm saying? Flying around all over the place. I'm talking about Roy Wilkins days, 15 Park days, and then, you know, his game and his clout just evolved to playing all around the city and all around, you know, different parts of the country, man. So when we get him on, we definitely going to talk a little bit about that. But nonetheless,
said something about 15 Park, man. We got to shout out the tournament that's coming up in 15 Park, man. Make sure y'all be ready. The Round Ball Classic is coming up with Bars and Hoops.
Yes.
Just stay tuned. He said 15 Park, so I had to touch that one time. You know, we do tournaments for the kids and help the kids. This is something indeed. Different, but we still got to let y'all know. You want to join the league, it's coming up soon. So tap in. Indeed. Prices are very fair. Very nice jerseys. Okay?
Yes, indeed.
Back to you, indeed. D. My bad.
You will get fully sublimated uniforms. You know what I mean? We're going to give the kids nice trophies, and that's definitely the Bars and Hoops Round Ball Classic. You know what I mean? If you want to tap in, you can email us at Bars and Hoops Round Ball Classic at gmail.com. It's all one word. You know what I mean? But moving on back over to, you know, the 1998-99 season, the Knicks had no first round picks. This is when we started only having second round picks because we depleted our first round picks by trading them off, bringing in stars that was a little bit over the hump, and you know, things started going a little bit downhill. So in 1998-99, we had no first round picks. We had a second round pick. We drafted DeMarco Johnson from Cincinnati in the second round, and we also drafted Sean Marks, number 44 overall. We traded Charles Oakley and Sean Marks to Toronto for Marcus Camby. So there goes another retool. That was another retool that the Knicks did. And this was the lockout shortened season where it was only 50 games. Now, the Knicks finished 27-23 in the regular season. They made it all the way to the NBA Finals. You know what I mean? And they lost to the San Antonio Spurs 4-1. You know what I mean? We also picked up Sprewell that same year. And we went on a tear with that
great year.
Yes.
That was a great year. Very exciting year.
Yes. You know what I mean? Sprewell and Allen Houston, they had some great times together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. After that, 99-2000, this is when the dark years started coming. But we had a great season that year. We finished 50-32. But we lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Indiana Pacers. And everybody knows it was the infamous missed layup by Patrick Ewing that kind of sealed the fate of the Knicks that year.
He finger rolled it.
He finger rolled it and he missed
it.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, we suffered, man. We suffered as Knicks fans.
I love that. I love Patrick Ewing. Uh-huh. But that kind of, you know, it kind of left, like, it kind of made me feel like, man, you supposed to be dunking and you already been shooting them jumpers on the baseline. I love Patrick Ewing, but he should have dunked that ball. I let that go. I gave him a pass for that. But for a while, it hurted me, D. I couldn't get over it. I felt like that man should have turned his hand the other way because he's too big. Once he finger rolled it, bro, I said, no.
So I'm going to just say this, right? Patrick Ewing is my favorite Nick of all time. You know what I mean? Like, he's my favorite Nick of all time. And after Patrick Ewing, those that do know me, it's Carmelo Anthony. I get a lot of slack for backing Carmelo up. You know what I mean? I get a lot of slack from a lot of people about backing Carmelo up, but Carmelo was like the next best thing to Ewing to me because he came here at a time when nobody wanted to come here, and he gave his all. You know what I mean? He gave his all, and he tried. And, you know, he had an unfair label tag to him, you know, coming here. And, you know, he left it all on the floor. The media loved him. The fans loved him. And it was a shame that it ended that way. And it was the same with Ewing. So who was your favorite Knick of all time?
Carmelo is one of my favorite Knicks for sure.
Uh-huh.
Because I like Ewing, but none of them really – like Melo, like you said, he came in by himself. He didn't care. Nobody wanted to come. He broke records. He had game points scored in games that never been done in the Garden. Yeah. And so when I look at stuff like that, that changed the dynamic for me. You know, I know he never won a ring. He never won a ring, so that's fine. You know, but Melo is one of them for me, and I'll say Melo and Starks.
Shout out to John Starks. Yes, indeed. And you notice we didn't name John Starks throughout that list because he was there before, you know, all of these people started coming in, man. He was there in the 1990 season. You know what I mean? But that I wanted to bring up that Dave Checkets and Ernie Grunfeld era just to see, like, what you thought about the moves throughout the years that we were talking about that he made. Do you think that he put together a great team, or was that like one of the better years that the Knicks have had in some decades? Like, what do you think about what he did as the president of basketball operations?
He did a good job. I mean, some things are hard to duplicate, you know. And remember the draft is called a lottery because it has a lot to do with luck.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It's a lottery. Think about that, you know. Yeah. So you can't really say and. Some guys just decline. You can't always blame the GM. You know, some moves are blatant, don't make sense. You gave up this guy for this guy. No need to discuss it. We know that didn't make sense. Some things we don't understand behind the scenes. It's a lot of politics in basketball and a lot of stuff that we don't see in the player. We just see him play. And some of the organizations are not for what some of the players bring. And I think that's the problem. So I don't really get into, you know, why they did this and that if I don't know the details. But I can say if you get rid of a good player for a player who didn't do nothing for us, that was a bad move. His moves were pretty much the best moves we made, you know, because it's hard in those positions. And even those other guys like Isaiah and some of the other guys that was on the list. Leon Rose is basically starting to make me feel like he's going to do better than – because he's changing things instead of doing the same things that was done. Like I say, they don't have patience with the players. So it's like you gave this guy 3 years and all he needed was a few more months and then he come out, he good, he ready now, like Frank.
So if they trade
Frank, Frank's going to be one of the top players on another team. I believe it. That's how it happens to us. This is what happens. Wow. So let's try to have patience with the people that we believed in already for a few years. I mean, it makes sense because you believed in this guy. You kept him here. You paid him. Unless you're going to trade it for something that's outright, we know, a good decision, like Bradley Beal or somebody who's just a straight 30-point scorer, don't give up none of our good players who could get 15, 18 points and give some assists and play good basketball for somebody who's going to just hold a ball like James Harden. That's my point.
And let's not forget, for those that are listening, shout out to everybody listening, watching live on YouTube, Facebook, live stream. Make sure that you call in, man. If you got something to talk about with the Knicks, man, the number to call in is 516-206-0711. This is Knicks Talk Nation Radio. You know what I mean? This is our first episode. We got our special invited guests coming very soon, and we appreciate everybody that is tuning in. But just to piggyback off of your point just now, man, you are right. New York is a tough place to play in. You know what I mean? And our fans and our fan base is starved because it's been since 1973, since we raised the banner in Madison Square Garden. As I broke down that whole 90s era, man, it's so tough because we lost to a dynasty. Michael Jordan and the Bulls, that was a dynasty. We lost to them at least six times throughout our tenure. You know what I mean? So It hurts, but nonetheless, that Knick team was a great Knick team to watch. Dave Checkers and Ernie Grunfeld did a great job putting talent together. They even brought in veterans towards the end of their career that helped the team out. You know what I mean? And they made it work. And throughout that whole tenure, they retooled at least three times. They made it to the finals twice in the 90s, 1994 and 1999. That was an accomplishment. You know what I mean? That was a great accomplishment. And also to your point with Leon Rose, you got to respect the fact that he was an agent. He was an agent for players.
I mean, he worked for the players. First. Yes.
Yes. Oh, we got a caller.
Okay.
Bars and Hoops Radio on Knicks Talk Nation. Talk about it.
Yo, what's going on, man? It's the Bearded One. What's popping?
Bearded One, what's going on, brother?
Peace, Bearded One.
You know, when you start talking, it's like Knicks Talk. Like, when you start going back around 96, 95, 94, you know, to go New York, New York.
Yes.
I feel New York, like
spots that you didn't really hit on. And I feel like that battle with the Pacers.
Uh-huh.
They was battling with the Pacers for. I mean, not that the Pacers was trying to step up to us, but they was going at it with the Pacers, and they had two of the most greatest games ever when Reggie dropped 25 in the fourth quarter, killed Starks. That hurt my heart.
Yeah,
and then when he scored 8 points in like 8 seconds, two threes, and
when
two
he did the choke, right?
Yeah. And I know he pushed Greg Anthony to the floor. I don't care what nobody.
But guess what, Pop? We purposely didn't talk about all that because we don't want to stick the knife in and turn it on Knicks fans. We didn't want to give the pain to Knicks fans. I gave the Knicks props. You want me to stick the dagger in and turn it.
Thank you for reminding us, though.
I feel like those moments right there really galvanized them as like they just had a couple spots here and there.
Yeah.
But even listening to you talk about, you know, there was a point like they lost to the Bulls as a dynasty.
Yes.
Outside of the Detroit Pistons, nobody played the Bulls as hard as the New York.
Nobody. You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Even people can say what they want, or you know, they lost or da-da. But let me tell you. When they first invoked that hand checking, you remember that?
Yes.
When they first started really getting into that,
as a rush,
Mason out here hand checking Scottie Pippen. He wasn't ready for that. Exactly. That was a whole nother bad boy style, and I believe that was the year they went up 2-0 on them in the beginning. And then after that, they had the tumultuous fall. At the end of the day, though, they fought them just as hard as any team ever fight them. The Black Sneakers, remember that?
That's a fact.
The Black Sneakers, you know what I mean? I just want to
We spoke about that earlier because not only did they wear black sneakers, but they all got baldies except for who?
Patrick
Ewing. He wanted to keep the flat top. He said, Bumba Ross.
I'm not cutting my hair.
Eraser head going on.
That was a great memory.
That was my favorite time in basketball because I felt like the Knicks really had it. Like even when they lost to the Houston Rockets, I just couldn't understand why.
Yeah,
because I didn't think the Houston Rockets was better.
Nah, they weren't. They weren't. I mean, don't get me wrong. The dream was the truth. Hakeem Olajuwon was the truth, man. He was one of the better big men in the league at the time, and he was dominant on the defensive end as well. And they had some great shooters. They had Vernon Maxwell. They had Kenny Smith. They had a young Sam Cassell, fresh out of
the The biggest thing was that the Knicks had the big men, and they didn't exploit that. It's like there was no real game. There was no they didn't really make no adjustment.
Yes.
In that whole series almost. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He let Starks kill us, and you got a hot Hubert Davis on the bench. Yes. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, nobody would. Starks.
Yeah, he brought that up earlier. He said he should have took Starks out.
He took Starks out, but you know, as a coach, you gotta go with who got you there. You know what I mean? And Harwell, I know that you're a coach, so you can speak on that. Like, you gotta go with the high hand, and you played.
Yeah, I don't understand why that happened either, but even the guy, his name is the Bearded One, he said, right? He's saying it like,
man. Well, listen, I'm in out. Man. Y'all going ahead, do what y'all do. Y'all, well, what's going on, man?
I already know.
The way it's going, all right?
Yeah, thanks for tapping in, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Yep.
Yeah, shout out to the Bearded One. You know what I mean? That was dope. He came in with some dope questions and great feedback on points that we may have not touched on the right way. And that's why this is a fan show. You call in, put your point of view on there. We're going to vibe with you. You know what I mean? We're going to tell you what we think. If we agree, if we don't, end of the day, it's all love, man.
Nah. The bearded one came in trying to stick the dagger and turn the knife. I ain't want to, you know, I gave Reggie his props. This is
it's the Nick show. Reggie. We said Reggie had was like this. That's the best we can do.
Shout out to the bearded one. He gave some good insight, man. You know what I mean? Because that's what we're here to do, man. Give some great insight. And hopefully, you know, fans love what we bring it to the table. Like I said, this is just the introduction show. This is the first show. Just want to take fans down memory lane. Of course, we're going to talk a lot more current events moving forward. We're going to talk a lot about a lot of some controversial stuff as far as trades that happened that the fan base was split down the middle on. You know, players that people didn't like. Like, you know, for instance, man, who was your favorite Nick point guard, Harwell?
Ooh, so many good point guards on the Knicks, decent. Like, I didn't like Charlie Ward, right? Just to bring up some old players. I didn't like Charlie Ward, but I had to respect him.
Uh-huh.
Because what he brought, you know, and I always watched, and it's like he didn't go nowhere. So it was like I had to learn to appreciate him and respect him. Not that he's the best, don't get me wrong, because you got so many. You got Mark Jackson, you got Charlie Ward.
Yes.
You got Derek Harper.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of hard to say who the best Nick point guard because all of them are close to each other. 100%. It's kind of like opinionated kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they never really had a point guard that made me go like really crazy. Like, so it was just basically, I was just a Knicks fan for team basketball and toughness. Yes. You know, I like the AI, different players. Don't get me wrong, but I stayed a Knicks fan. So shout out to the great point guards in New York. Let's name some more. Like who's your favorite? To give me some more insight, who you think? Who you pick?
My favorite Nick point guard of all times, and there's no disrespect to Clyde Frazier, anybody. I mean, this is my favorite. You know what I mean? This is what I grew up and who I grew up watching. My favorite point guard is Stephon Marbury. And I feel
that's a
like
good answer because I don't want to leave Steph out. I might go with
can't
that.
Leave Steph out.
Steph I might go with that one. I played against Stephon. I can tell you a story when I played against Stephon.
Let's go. Tell a story about playing against Steph.
When we played against Stephon, my pop said, "Yo, you know who you play." Now we was in CYO.
Yes.
And we was undefeated. Shout out to my pops, BI, by the way, and Big C. Shout them out.
And shout out to the users that said on Facebook that Rod Strickland was the truth.
Oh, Rod. Word. Yo, my bad. I might have to go. I might take Rod since you took Marbury. Matter of fact, I got Rod Strickland. That's a fact.
Yeah, Rod Strickland was tough.
Whoever said that was a good point. But back to the Marbury story. We was undefeated in CYO. Shout out to my coach, Tex, from New York, from Far Rockaway, Bernard Robinson, rest in peace. We was undefeated. You know, some of my players were good players. Kareem Shabazz. Sharif Fordham, Andrew, Lamar Parker.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Those was guys on my team when we CYO. And we was undefeated. So we got down there. My pop said, "You know who we play?" I said, "Who?" He said, "You play Stephon Marbury, the kid on Sports Illustrated." So I'm like, "I don't know who that is." I get to the game, and dude take 2-3 dribbles past half court and shoot the ball. I'm saying he bugging. Till I turn around and see it going. I said, "Oh shit, I got to get up on this guy." So basically, that showed me a lot that Duke could shoot from 4-5 steps from the 3-point line. You got to guard him from there. Then he gonna make you come up on him. Then he gonna blow by you. And that made me a beast playing against Marbury. To make a long story short,
shout out to you and shout out to Marbury. Now,
shout out to Steph Marbury.
Getting back to Marbury, man, he was like, I remember when he came to New York at that time. His contract was $89 million. Shout out to the big dog, Obadiah Toppin, in the building. Oh, what's up, brother?
Yeah, what's good, my guy? What's good, my guy?
Oh, I can't make no noise, man. That's my brother. Nothing to like. Yes, indeed, man. Salute to you, man. For real, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, so we just was kicking a little bit about Stephon Marbury. Oh, I know you know all about Steph, too. You know what I mean? Because we from that era and that claw. That's you know what I'm saying?
That's
word
guy.
Up,
that's
man.
That's true from Coney Island.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, word. But oh, we know we ain't going to hold you too long, right? No and doubt. I appreciate you checking in with us, man. I see you just getting in and all that stuff, man.
For sure.
So I wanted people to get a better understanding of who you are. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody knows you got your son at Kentucky, Jacob, and we know everybody knows your son Obi playing for the Knicks right now. But let everybody know about who Obadiah Toppin Senior is, the father of these two young men, man. And where are you from?
I ball, you know, everybody know I ball too. You know, I went to you know, I played in, you know, West Forth. You know, I played in different other tournaments or whatever. And I had my son. My bad. I'm trying to get back to the.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good.
We hear you. We hear you.
But yeah, you know, when I, you know, I brung up my boys, and everywhere I played, they was with me.
That's a fact.
And then when they got big enough or whatever, I had them on the court with me, you know, playing against the guys.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
That's when you had to play through the fouls and all that.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yes, indeed. Word. So when did you start taking basketball seriously, and what was the highest level that you've played competitively, like organized?
I think I started taking basketball serious when I turned, like, I want to say like 17, 18, because I started late. I actually started late. I ain't started playing until I was like 15, 16, or something around there.
Wow.
You know, so and you know, I got looked at through from colleges through the big tournaments in New York I was playing for.
Wow.
You know, so I was fortunate to get the Gatorade commercial that I did with Ben Wallace, Dwayne Wade, and Vince Carter.
Yes.
You know, through my actually, they was watching me play with my son at West Forth. That's how I got the Gatorade commercial.
Wow.
You know, so I just went through the circuit, you know, all the New York City tournaments, and got the opportunity to go out to Oklahoma to play college ball. And then I went overseas after that.
Wow. What was that experience like overseas for you coming from the big city, New York?
It was a different atmosphere, different people. You know, I loved it over there.
Yeah.
Going overseas, man, it changed. You know, it gave me a different perspective about a lot of things. You know,
more business, right?
You know, some of them countries over there, you know, it's really a struggle over there, and to see how they get by on a daily basis. You know, I cherish everything I got in this country. You know, I don't take nothing for granted in this country. You know, seeing what goes on in other countries.
That's a
good point to make.
And hopefully my boys will get the opportunity to go over there and see how it is over there. It's beautiful. In a lot of countries, it's beautiful.
Yes.
You know? But I've also been to countries where, you know, it's a real struggle over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Damn, kid. Sheesh. Yeah. So,
but Obi is going to – he's doing good. You know, you know, there's things – that he needs to work on, which every rookie that's just coming into the league that haven't had no training camp and no summer training and none of that. So,
yeah,
I mean, him going in now, I mean, he still got to figure it out. And but when he do figure it out, you already know what it's going to be, man.
Man, he's fine, man. You know, he's fine.
Yeah. We just talked about that before you came in, basically how the Knicks got to have more patience with the players that they draft. And that's what the problem was in the past. And due to the fact that they didn't pick up anybody in this draft that we just talked about earlier, it looks like they are going to give these guys a chance to gel and grow. And I think it makes a lot of sense to change the culture and wait and get, because why wait 2-3 years and then get rid of them and they about to come out their shell? That was the problem that we had. And that's why we doing this, to hopefully they hear and we could put the word out. Like, man, it's real fans out here, and we backing OB and you and all the real players. That's what we all about. You know what I mean? That's why we started this podcast to make fans speak up, because they want OB here. Like, he went to the dunk contest, and man, they haven't had a player do that in how long? Let's keep it real. Nate Robinson did it a few years. But to bring back like that and him to come in second and do what he did, man, I had goosebumps at home. So shout out OB.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean,
yeah, you was there.
It was real awesome, man. To actually be there.
Yeah.
You know, to actually be on the court with my son. That's being fulfilled, right?
That's my next question, was going to be for you.
I don't think that ever happened. I don't think that ever happened where an NBA player and a street ball legend at an all-star game, you know, like
it has
sometime down the road, it may happen again, but they always will revert back to that date.
100%.
You know what I mean? And it's awesome because it's a lot of people that really look up to O, that really looked up to me growing up and stuff like that. And to see that happen, it gives them, you know, motivation.
I love to do whatever they want to do.
In life, you know?
I love just them putting in the work to do it. Yes,
you know?
I love when he got drafted, man. Like a couple days later, y'all was in Brooklyn giving out food and all of that, man. That was love. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people really felt that, man, and really appreciated that, man.
Yes, sir.
But what has been the toughest adjustment for you so far as a parent, now that your son is playing in the home for the hometown team?
The toughest thing is just dealing with everything that, you know, dealing with the process.
Dealing with the process and it's really just going through the process
and dealing with different personalities, dealing with family, dealing with friends
and all that.
I gotta keep everything in its place, you know, because this is new to me. I mean, I've seen it before, but to this level is new to me, just like it's new to all my family members and my friends. It's new.
So I'm just taking all this in, man.
You deserve it.
And that's my word. I didn't want to ask O to come on because I was like, I know he's probably getting tons of requests from everybody. I was like, damn, kid, I really don't want to ask O.
Man.
I don't want to be the extra pressure on people and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But
nah, no doubt. We got to get the next one, though, man.
Sometimes you help them speak and let them say how they feel like he did. And sometimes you speak and let some things out, and then it's a good feeling sometimes. You know what I mean? Because we talking about things that he feel and his word could get out. And that's a real thing. Like I say, they need to stop letting players go. Give him his chance, just like Barry and them young guys. That's a good call.
And if we stick with that,
we're going to be the truth. And I've been a Knicks fan since a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love OB and them young guys. And if they have patience, I can see us going real far.
Yes, sir. It's all about the mental thing. It's a mental thing, you know?
Yes, indeed.
All they got to do is just keep working, man. They're going to get their chance.
They're definitely going to get their chance. Yeah,
Back
man. Though. Let everybody know about Jacob as well, man.
What year is Jacob in now? You know, he's the quiet assassin, man.
Yes.
When he comes, he's coming. Yeah. I mean, at the end, towards the middle and the end of day season or whatever, you started to see everything coming together for him.
Yes.
You know, his confidence, his shooting, all of it, you know.
Yes.
And actually he began to start on Kentucky.
Yes.
You know, which is a beautiful thing. It's just once he learned the system and everything like that, that's when everything started clicking for him.
Started to take off.
Yeah.
It's the same process from the college to the NBA. It's the same different process for them. They gotta go through over again.
Yes, sir.
You just gotta give them that chance. That's all.
What year is he in now?
This is junior year.
It's junior year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now
that's good. He got time.
Yeah, he got time.
He's gonna go test the waters. Get some feedback from the league or whatever.
He don't have to go or whatever.
You don't have to. Right. It ain't no rush. You know what I mean? But he'll know when he's ready.
Yeah,
and he's a top end too. That plays a major part. It's political. You know, he's a topic. So all you got to do is work hard and everything else will fall into place. I just want to say, you know, shout out to you for being a great father, because if that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't be here talking about this. And we have to peel back the layers, because if you wasn't bringing them to them games, letting them see what you doing, then they would be doing something else too. The kids follow what their father going to do. And we got to give you that shout out and all the credit. Praise is due. Thank you for being a father and putting us in position to be very successful, because you succeeded at that. If it wasn't for you, he would not be drafted. Let's just keep that all the way 100. So I got to give you a big major shout out for being a great dad and having him in that environment, and then your younger kid following as well.
Yes, sir. And
that's basically what I wanted to say about that, because if nobody don't give you credit, that don't make sense. You can't just gravitate around OB. If you didn't do what you did, he would not be in that position. And shout out to his mother, too.
Man, I appreciate that, man. That's good. You
know. So, before we let you go, man, how can people, you know what I mean, support you and the things that you and your son are planning to do in the community moving forward? Like, do y'all got anything set up for where people can help support what you guys are trying to do in the community, or you didn't lay anything down yet?
Right now, we still in the works of laying stuff down. You know, we definitely going into the community. We got a couple of things lined up that we start doing.
Okay.
You know, especially shout out to Bushwick.
Run it up.
We'll definitely be a part of that. We're
doing in the summer, you know, over there.
Yeah.
You know, so we got some things lined up.
Okay. Well, listen, man, just let me know, man. I'll put the word out, man. Any support that we could give you, man, we're there to do it for real, man. Cause I appreciate you, King. I salute you on the journey that you're on, man. Congratulations. And like Hardwell said, man, great father, man. Keep doing the good work, man. And you know, I appreciate you for coming on the platform, champ, for real.
Man, I appreciate you still always, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Always, man.
Yes, indeed, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, King. We gonna get up, all right?
For sure, man. Thanks.
Have a great night, brother.
No problem, bro. All right, y'all too, man.
All right. Yep. That was Obadiah Toppin, man. Father Obi Toppin. Checking in with us, man. You know what I mean? Great guy, great father, man. And this future is bright for the Toppin family, man. And like you said, Hardwell, it just takes time and patience, man. And a lot of New York fans have to have patience, man. We would have had OB on tonight, but again, that was my fault because, you know, today was the season premiere of the show. And I overlooked the fact that they had a game.
It's cool, though, because look, they see his father stills.
Yeah, nah, it's all good. Yeah, no.
No, I'm just having to say that because you saying that, so I have to reinnovate. It's no cap. Like, you know, we lost the show and we thought he was gonna be home by then. He had to do press, however that went. But we'll see him maybe next time, and we're gonna have more guests. And the show is about the fans and the call in. So even though one person called, next time some more people call, we can make more fun out of the show. It's gonna be more guests. And that was a very good segment with Mr. Toppin, man, how he came in like that, man. Like, I really enjoyed that, man, for the first interview, first show. This was kind of dope, man. I like it. It's kind of cool.
Nah, it's dope, man. Shout out to everybody showing love on Facebook. Shout out to everybody showing love on YouTube. Right now, we're not streaming live on the station like we normally would. Technical difficulties, you know, learning curves with this. But, you know, next week, everything should be up and running. But before we move into the next topic, man, I wanted to say shout out to you, Hardwell, you know what I'm saying? Making your debut with me podcast, you know what I mean? Feeling in well, like what I'm hearing so far.
Appreciate that.
And we definitely going to look forward to having some more great episodes. But just to bring things back to, you know, the season and what's been going on thus far. Yes, tonight we had a tough loss, but we had a tougher loss earlier in this week, man. So this is a question for you and anybody else that's out there listening. After Mitchell Robinson went down with his latest injury, what are your expectations now? Are you satisfied with the team staying put for the remainder of the season? Or do you feel that they should make a move? They should have made a move, or they should make a move to find somebody that's out there waiting to be signed as a free agent?
Call in if you want to answer that. I'm going to say, I think before Mitchell Robinson got hurt, I was comfortable with the core and building and see where we go. sometimes you have to see, we not winning the ring. You have to see that. I'm not saying we not winning the ring right now. I'm saying in general, when you're in that position, if you know you're not going to win the ring, then you better off building your core. So, yeah, being that Mitchell Robinson went down, I would have looked at probably getting a big man to replace him just to see what we could do. But before he went hurt, I was happy that we didn't move, because it shows that we changing the culture and we giving guys a chance to grow, because we got guys that's 2-year players that's playing better than some 4- and 5-year players. RJ Barrett is playing better than some players.
Yeah. Been shout out to RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett is definitely doing, RJ Barrett definitely doing his thing.
Yeah. And my point too about my man Julius Randle, right? Now see how he's coming out, his come out parties right now. So if he would have been on the Knicks before he got to the Knicks, maybe they would have let him go right before he was going to have his come out party, because that's our history. So maybe they're realizing that and saying, hold on, let's just see. Unless it's going to be a blockbuster where we give up 3 guys that we know didn't really reach their potential yet. We get a guy who has full potential now. So we going for the chip now don't really make sense to me. So this is what they got to take into consideration. We're not winning a chip. Let's build these guys, to make my point clear.
No question, no question. Word. I would say this too, man. I was kind of annoyed that they didn't add pieces, because right now they're right there. I'm not saying take away from the nucleus and the core, but I think that, you know, they could have went a little bit harder at certain players. And Thibodeau said this earlier in the season, like when Russell Westbrook was available and he wanted to come to New York. Now, a lot of people sit there and kill Russell Westbrook, saying that he's not a good player, he's not a team player, this, that, and the third, whatever. He's a dog. He plays defense. He embodies New York. You know what I'm saying?
He would be a good Nick.
He would be a good Nick. But we can't cry over spilled milk. It didn't happen. The most recent situation was Andre Drummond. I think that he would have been a great addition, because, again, like tonight, for instance, we got killed on the boards. We got killed by a lot of second opportunity chances that Miami had to score again. So we were depleted on defense, because guys, the long rebounds, you know, we were settling for a lot of threes and we got killed in the paint. You know what I mean? So somebody like Andre Drummond could have helped us.
Yeah, he's going to get the rebound.
He gets the rebound, you know what I mean? And he's a big body. Right now, the Knicks are frail. They're a small team. Nerlens Noel.
Noel is a backup, though, still. Yeah, backup. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's a backup.
He plays a great – honestly speaking, he stepped his game up. Shout out to Noel.
Yes.
Because I watched him before when he first got drafted and said he declined so much. But that's why I have to – reinnovate on that and rethink that, because the same process that I'm saying the Knicks players deserve, he deserves that. And he just didn't take off right away. And now he's reaching some of his potential. He's blocking shots like he did in high school. Yes. And he's playing the way he played. If you follow him in high school, he used to bring the ball up. He was more of an agile big. It's just that he doesn't have to do that now. So he's doing a great job blocking and defending, but he's a backup. So 100%. If Mitchell Robinson was there, then we would see a whole different dynamic. We're looking at it funny now because he just got hurt after he was out for a while. And we were doing good. Yeah. And remember, the alley-oop play with Mitchell Robinson is unstoppable. Let's be clear.
That's a fact.
He's won it all game.
That's a fact.
So that being said, if he's playing and Noel's is a backup, we have a stronger unit. But him being hurt changes the dynamic. So I do think we probably got to put somebody to replace missing him, because with Noel's, it's not enough depth in the big spot.
Yeah, and the market is dried up now, man. Everybody went to where they're going to end up being. And, you know, we got to depend on the draft and hopefully free agency, you know, when some of these guys become free agents, because I think that Drummond is just a 1-year rental for now, because the Lakers Lakers don't have the money to really pay him. But I guess he wanted to take the chance to win a ring, and then I guess they're going to
try him.
They're going to figure out a way to sign them. You know what I mean? So that was something that we did miss. But I am grateful. I'm super grateful, because just like the guy we was talking about earlier, RJ Barrett, right?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't sold on him at first. I must admit, I wasn't sold on him at first. I wanted Ja Morant. I can admit that. I'm a Knicks
fan. Did we pass up? Oh, yeah.
We couldn't get him because we were number 3. But RJ is starting to shape up. And
you can't really feel that way, Stills.
Nah, no, I'm not. I mean,
you know, listen. I'm saying the we passed up on Morant because we did. I don't think they would have did that.
You don't think so?
Morant, if we could have.
Yeah, they would have. They would have took him. But
we can't put that in consideration because we didn't have a chance. It's not like they passed on him.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's a blockbuster. Memphis made a great decision because he proved that he was what they did, what they chose him for. He's living up to his expectation.
100%. 100%.
So it's now, RJ, though.
Yes. So now RJ Barrett has something over all of these players. So RJ Barrett is only one of five players since 1970 to achieve these following numbers before turning to age 21. Ooh. Over 1,500 plus points, over 500 plus rebounds, over 250 assists, all before the age of 21. He's one of five players. Like, that's amazing.
And I seen that coming.
Yes, he's growing right before our eyes. And I love the fact that he goes to the basket and he's not afraid of contact and he finishes. You know what I mean?
And he's shooting the jump shot because somebody must have told him you have to hit the shot to make them come out so you can have the drive. So now yes. He's shooting the three, which makes him much more of a better player because they have him working out on his jump shot. And another thing I want to say is shout out to my guy. One of my favorite Knicks, Emmanuel Quickly. We didn't mention him yet, but this kid to me should be the rookie of the year. He was a sleeper pick. And now he might get it because Ball is hurt.
Yes,
Ball is hurt. The rookie.
You're right. Who else
Ball
is playing?
Is hurt. Quickly should be the rookie of the year. We need to vote for Quickly, man. Quickly is killing. You see the move when he put the boot on, dude? He stepped back. Dude thought he was going to drive. He dropped him and stepped back, hit the three. I said, this kid right here. And then I watched him since Kentucky. That boy is serious. And I play ball. That boy, Quickly, coming with it.
Yeah, he's definitely tough. About
him, tap in. That boy is tough. And he's humble. And he like Quickly, man. Like, we got a good team, bro. I'm excited about my team. I haven't been excited for years, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Trust me, bro. Trust me.
I'm excited about my team, man.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love the first show too. Listen, man.
Really worked out great. We had a few glitches and then senior topping popped in, you know. It was fire, bro. Yeah. Shout out to Steals for making that happen. You know, you got shout Steals out, Bars and Hoops. Tap in, like I said, he's doing a great job out here. Whoever don't know, tap in to barsandhoops.com, the Round Ball Classic. Certain things we doing that y'all don't know that we may talk about. So just follow the pages, Bars and Hoop at Instagram. Shout out to the Hardwheel as well, you know. Hardwheel Basketball Training, that's one of my companies. So tap into some of our brands. You get to get some more information. We're going to have a page for Knicks Talk Nation Radio coming up soon. Y'all can follow. Y'all can be able to put things on there that y'all want us to discuss. There's going to be ways you could go into the website and chime in too on that. So we'll let you know more details on that coming soon. And thanks for tuning in tonight, man. Like I say, it was a great first episode, man. I loved it.
Yes, indeed, man. It was a great episode, man. Shout out to Obi Toppin, man. Shout out to Obadiah Toppin, his pop, for checking in, man. Like I said, man, we try to bring you the best, man. This show, again, is for Knicks fans, by Knicks fans. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate everybody that's chiming in, everybody that's showing love, everybody that's supporting the movement, everybody that has been supporting Bars and Hoops Radio from the start. You know what I mean? This is just the beginning. Again, we got a lot more in store for you. We got a lot of new shows coming with great content. And we're definitely going to have some special guests chiming in. I'm not going to take anything out the bag yet. You know what I mean? You got to stay tuned. You got to stay locked in with us to see what we got in store for you next. So, again, don't forget, this show is going to come on every Monday from 10 to 11. Rain, sleet, hail, or snow, we're going to be here to give you the latest Knicks news as well as talk about some great things that happened in the past and what we anticipate happening in the future. So, again, my name is Stills the Great. His name is Hard Will. And we are Knicks Talk Nation Radio. And until next week, we are signing off.
We signing off. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
New York City. New York City. We. In the court, reach for